Here in a moment, we're going to be entering into the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be going to the 21st chapter, starting with the 28th verse. Now, I know the stream's a little bit delayed, but our wonderful tech person today, Sarah Zoll, my mom, will be telling me who gets it right and when they get it right, whoever's first. And you may already know the answer to this question that I'm about ready to ask before we dive into our message today. You may know the answer because you've been watching our live stream and you've seen it on screen. You may also just know the answer because you just already know. But what is today? What is today? Drop a comment below if you know what today is and let us know. And as soon as we hear a response or no response, we will congratulate the winner. And we just need to know what day it is today. Now, I know we're on delay, so there'll be some filler here. But as we continue on.
Nicole says Palm Sunday.
Nicole says it's Palm Sunday. 12 gold stars to Nicole. The gold stars really don't have any value. You can't do anything with them, but you have 12 gold stars. Now, I can't give it to you because of social distancing. I can't actually give them to you, and I'm sorry about that. Just consider this live stream your IOU for your gold stars. As we enter into our morning of hearing and responding to a message from God's word, let's pray. God, be with us right now as we open your word. Show us your way. Show us and teach us who you are. And in this, Lord, help us to glorify you all the more. Amen and amen. Well, it is Palm Sunday. And to help explain this, I have a short video to show you and your family.
In a small corner of the city, a parade began. No internet, no announcements, no tweets. Word of mouth carried the news. And the parade had no floats, no balloons, no bands. Just the voices of the people singing one word. Hosanna. The word has no actual meaning. It'd be like trying to define the word hooray. But still, they knew what it meant. Hosanna. The king has arrived. Jesus had been working quietly behind the scenes, urging people to not tell of what they saw. But how can you keep a secret like that? They were ready for him. They had been praying for his arrival for generations. The Messiah had come. Hosanna! They waved branches. They threw their coats on the road. It was all they could do. They gave him a breeze and they sang him a song. Hosanna! It was all they had. They would die for him. But what they didn't understand is that it was going to happen the other way around. The Pharisees were watching, waiting, planning. He was too popular. The crowds would follow him anywhere. But even if you silence the crowd, you can't silence creation. Even if you silence the crowd, the rocks would sing, the trees would take up chorus, and the earth itself would sing. Hosanna. Hosanna. The king has arrived.
In mind, we're going to be opening our word to the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to be going to chapter 19, and we're going to be reading verse 28 through 40. Now, let me explain something. this is going to be a little bit different than what you may be used to hearing on Palm Sunday. It is the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but Luke provides an interesting twist to this in the sense that the people don't shout Hosanna, it just says that they praise him. And that is awesome because that's what they were doing. They were praising him. It's the same story, but Luke provides some emphasis in other areas that we might not see in the other Gospels. And it's in this emphasis, in particular the ending of this passage, that we're really going to be digging into. When the Pharisees try to silence all the disciples and the crowd and the multitude cheering, telling Jesus to silence them. And Jesus says this in verse 40. He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Now, with this being said, I would like you to do something a bit different today as we enter into our primary passage. I would like you to take yourself and put yourself there in the crowd. Put yourself on the streets of Jerusalem. If you have your Bible, open it to this passage and read along. I will in particular be reading from the ESV, but follow along with me. Follow along with us. Put yourself in Jerusalem. Picture yourself there. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel in this large crowd? Are you maintaining your social distancing? You better. But what do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? Even so, what do you smell? And as weird as it might say, how am I going to smell anything? I smell the candle I'm burning next to me right now. What else am I supposed to smell? Use your imagination and put yourself in Jerusalem as this passage unfolds. And when he had said these things, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the moment that is called, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." If these were silent, the very stones would cry out. What did you see happening? What did you hear? When I think about what I hear a child, maybe 10, 11 years old, running down the street screaming, "Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming!" Ripping a palm branch from a tree and beginning to wave it with others as they all join in celebration of who Jesus is. That's what I see. That's what I hear. These shouts of acclamation and praise as the other gospel writers tell us, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" The word Hosanna actually does have a meaning. Its meaning is save us. Our Savior. It is in this moment that I ask, what is your first thought when you see Jesus? What's the look on his face? How do people respond as he passes them? Does the praise get louder? Drop a comment below and let us know what it is you see, what it is you hear. Drop a comment below and engage in this reading of the word. And let us know what it is you experienced. But more importantly, let's not just talk about what we experienced. What did you do? Did you join the crowds? Did you sing praises alongside with them? I mean, seriously, it'd be really hard not to. I mean, they are worshiping Jesus. We want to worship Jesus as well. Comment below also what you did. Did you feel your heart race in your chest? Did you feel breath fill your lungs? And in that excitement, did you join the celebration? Do you shout Hosanna with the crowd? Keep all this in mind as we speak into a very real truth about life. Sometimes, and some days, it's easier than others to praise God. Sometimes, and some days, it's easier to follow Jesus. Some days, it's easier than others to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there are many times it's easier to worry. It's easier to be fearful. It's easier to not be happy. In this, no matter the day, no matter the time, we need to remember something as faithful followers of Jesus, that if we are in Christ, God is with you no matter what, and he is moving through you. And this celebration we know as Palm Sunday, the inauguration of Holy Week, in reality is every day and every moment for us. It is Palm Sunday all the time, for Jesus is with us. He's in us through his Holy Spirit. And there's always room, no matter what may be happening around us, to us, for monumentous praise. Because of who he is. Bringing us back to what did you do? I've asked this question a lot of myself. You know, in this moment, it would be hard, once again, to not just celebrate with the crowd when we put our feet in the shoes of the people who were there. It's hard to not join along with the crowd because they're not necessarily doing anything wrong. They're doing something very, very good and right, and that is worshiping the Lord, giving joyous praise. However, we must make sure of something, that we're doing it for the right reasons and with the right purpose. That we're doing it, as Jesus would say, in spirit and in truth. Because moments like this, it's easy to praise God. Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it, so I will do it. We kind of have a mob mentality. Well, if everyone else is doing it, I'm gonna do it. I think of parenting phrases that we teach our children, a phrase my mom would always teach me. Well, if they jumped off a bridge, would you do too? And I would always respond to her, it depends. Are we talking about the Golden Gate Bridge or a creek bridge? Because I'm totally jumping off that creek bridge. So if everybody else is dropping off that bridge, you better believe I'm jumping off that bridge. You better believe it. Yeah. I got in trouble for saying that. The point of phrases like this one is to break the mob rule in our lives. Because it's so easy to follow the mob, good or bad, it's so easy to follow. You know, I have a picture here that shows us this reality of following the mob and how good or bad, it could be bad. And if it's bad, it could be very, very bad. I don't know where we're going, but from the look of this crowd, it's gotta be good. It's gotta be good. You may ask, what then was the crowd doing that was wrong? Of course, I am joining in the praise. Of course, I am shouting Hosanna, which is in the other gospel accounts, but I'm joining in this moment along with them. I'm going to praise God with them. What is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But what we need to realize is this same crowd that is shouting praises to God, praises to Jesus, this same crowd that's shouting Hosanna is the same crowd that in 6 days later would be shouting crucify, crucify him. On a day and during a time, it wasn't so easy to praise God. Like a light switch, their mentality shifted. Why though? Why did this happen? It was because Jesus wasn't what they expected him to be. And they got carried away once again by the crowd and followed along in the mob mentality, not concerning themselves with the question why they were doing what they are doing. Just following along. You see, how we enter ourselves and present ourselves before God in praise matters greatly. And though this would be the same crowd that would eventually turn their backs on Jesus, we do know that there were some who enter this moment of acclamation and praise properly, but the vast majority had no clue what they were doing. Rather, they really just got caught up in the moment. They worshiped him for what he did. And yes, we should worship God for what he does. However, we should also worship Jesus for who he is. God the Son. God with us. Luke 19:37 shows us this. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. What would have happened if they didn't see all those mighty works? Would Jesus have gotten the same welcome? Understand, I'm not saying that there's a problem with praising God for what he does. We should. This is perfectly fine. It's appropriate for us to do. It's expected of us to do when we are in Christ. However, if we only worship God and the things he does, rather than also worshiping God for who he is, we won't be able to worship God in the times we feel lost, alone, and abandoned. When it's in those times where we need to worship God all the more, it's easy to worship God when he's clearly present, when we see him moving in, through, and around us. And here's the good news. Despite what we may feel, if we may feel lost, alone, and abandoned, despite those feelings, in any given moment, on any given day, if we are in Christ, God is presently moving in, through, and around us. He hasn't left us alone. He has not abandoned us. We are not lost in him, even though we may feel like it. Therefore, in the good, in the bad, and in the ugly, we should worship. We should worship. Bringing us to if we only worship God because of what everyone else is doing. It's what everyone else is doing, so I'm going to do it. Not because we ourselves are living in a lifestyle of worship that desires to worship, that is fueled and empowered by worship. We run a clear and evident risk of just having a life of worship that is merely surface only and based only on ritual. We worship God because we have to and that we're supposed to. And this is the only reason for it. Everyone else is doing it, so I guess I'll do it. What we do then when it is no longer hip and cool? What do we do then when the crowd begins shouting, crucify him, crucify him? What do we do then when people start persecuting us for worshiping him? When we're looked at in our neighborhood as that crazy Christian family? What do we do then? We falter, we fall, and we fail. Jesus does not want us to just worship and praise him for the things he does. Nor does Jesus want us to just worship and praise him because it's the cool thing to do. Jesus has called us into a relationship where one day we will worship and praise him always, continually, not just for what he's done, but for who he is, and that we won't be like the crowds who will worship and praise him, but the very next day shall crucify, crucify, and curse him with the very same mouth. With all this being said, Jesus does want us to make sure when we worship and praise him, we are worshiping and praising him authentically. And he prescribes us the certificate of authenticity for worship, what true worship looks like, what true worship is in John 4:23, when he says true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. Here's what it says in John 4:23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. We have to ask, what does that mean? What does that look like? To worship in spirit and truth. What it means and what it looks like is the worship of God is to truly be an open expression of love for God by the believer. No matter the location, no matter what rituals we use or are prescribed, and no matter how we feel at the time, worship of God is the continual action of acknowledging who God is and what God is doing in all circumstance. To worship in spirit is a matter of heart. It means to worship with passion. True worship must be in spirit that is engaging the whole being. Unless there's a real passion for God, there's no real worship in spirit. And we need to understand when Jesus says spirit and truth, spirit is not capitalized. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about our spirit. Our self, our being. True worship is something that encompasses our whole being. If we're just going through the motions, because we are going through the motions without heart, our worship is without meaning. If we're worshiping because we have to, our worship lacks purpose. We need to be mindful and continually ask ourselves, why do we worship? Why are you watching this live stream right now? Why is it? Is it because we're obligated? Or is it because our heart desires it? God inspires the psalmist to teach us this in Psalm 51:17. I believe to fully help us understand the reality of what worshiping in spirit is. Psalm 51:17 reads, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God wants our hearts to be in it. God doesn't need our actions. God doesn't need us to do any of this. However, God wants our hearts to be for and in him. He wants our hearts to be focused on him. He wants to be the subject of our lives. He wants us to worship in spirit, with spirit. Now, what does it mean then to worship in truth? In so much as worshiping must be in spirit, it must also be in truth. It must be properly informed. The people by and large, lining the streets of Jerusalem, praising and worshiping Jesus, didn't really understand who they were praising and worshiping. Sure, they were worshiping in their spirit. They were worshiping with their whole being. They were giving themselves over to Jesus. And they were worshiping. However, they lacked an understanding of who he was. which is why the same crowd would eventually turn on him and cry out, "Crucify! Crucify him!" and condemn him to death. They lacked understanding of who he was. If we worship what we do not know, we run to the risk in worshiping something else other than God. Because we don't know if we're truly worshiping God or not. We don't want to wake up someday and realize we haven't been worshiping Jesus all along. We've been worshiping something else rather than the ultimate one. We must have knowledge of who God is in our worship. And we have this wonderful revelation of God, his word, to show us exactly who he is. So that we could have a knowing. The prophet Hosea warns that worship that lacks truth is dangerous. And teaches us what God desires as truthful acts of worship in 6:6. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." I heard our brother Frankie once say, and I believe this to be a very wise saying, "Worship without emotion is dead orthodoxy, whereas worship without truth is empty frenzy." In other words, we need both. This is what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. To worship God and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To worship him with everything we have and to know him. To worship God for who he really is, not just because of what he does. All the time, no matter the time, in every circumstance, no matter the circumstance, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. And he deserves such worship and praise all the time, no matter the time, no matter what is happening or when it is. Praise be to God in Jesus Christ. I remember when I was young. And yes, I understand some of you still say I am young. But I remember when I was a kid, and Lucas, Phoebe, and Obadiah, I know you're watching this upstairs. I, your dad, was once a kid, just like you. I would get dragged to church by my mom and my grandparents. I remember waking up multiple times on a Sunday morning going, "Do we have to go to church? I just want to sleep." "Yes, we do. Now get up and get your clothes on." They always would drag me to church every stinking Sunday. Is there anyone watching that can relate to this? Drop a comment below if your parent or parents dragged you to church all the time. You see, in church, I was bored out of my ever-loving mind. But as a good Catholic, I went. I did my calisthenics. Stand, kneel, sit. Stand, kneel, sit. Never understood why I didn't throw a jumping jack in there. But I would do my Sunday calisthenics. I would eat that terrible wafer and drink that weird-tasting grape juice. I would stay awake and quiet as I played with my Hot Wheels in the pews, as was expected of me. And with this being said, I'm so glad that they kept with it. I'm so glad that they kept making me go to church. Because over time, the importance and significance of what we were doing made sense. I was in this moment where eventually I woke up. I woke up and saw Jesus. And I fell in love with him before my worship was just empty, ritualistic, and sad. It wasn't even true because I was doing it because I had to. It was only when I learned who Jesus was and fell deeply in love with who he is. It was only then that the very essence of my being began to worship him fully, in spirit and in truth. Now, do I get it right all the time now? No. There are still some days where my worship lacks true heart. I go through the motions because I have to and I'm expected to. It happens sometimes. However, the more I grow in Christ, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I fall in love with who he is, the easier it gets day after day to worship and praise him all the more in spirit and in truth, no matter what is happening, no matter how much pain I may be in, no matter how much I might be suffering. It becomes easier because I know who my God is, and I know that my God is capable, and I know that my God is worth it, even if. I think of a verse from the book of Daniel, a set of verses, right before three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are about to be thrown into a fiery furnace by the governing powers for their faith and praise of God, because they refuse to bow down to the idols of their society. They will only worship the one true God, for God is the only one we are to worship. There shall be no other gods before us, he says. Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18 captures this moment. These men are about to be killed for their faith. They're about ready to be burned to death, burned alive for their faith in a furnace. It says this in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. If not," another way of saying, "even if," as some translations say, "even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter, because I know who my God is, and he will not delay." And we also know to die is to gain, and to live is for Christ. Even if, no matter what happens or how I feel, it gets easier the more I learn about who he is and trust in his name to worship him, even if. If you want to know what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, turn to Daniel chapter 3 as a family and read that after our message today. And you can see whether they perish in the furnace or not. This is a beautiful thing in the life of the believer, to fall more and more in love with our Savior. It's a beautiful thing to be able to fall more in love by coming to a full knowledge of who he is. This is what makes our worship true. This is what drives our worship to be full of spirit. And not just something we do because everyone else is doing it, but because it is easy to us, because it's natural. We don't do it anymore because it's hip and cool. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because every fiber in our being just wants to shout, "Praise the Lord!" And every fiber in my being wants to shout that. Bringing us to this point, and we're going to look at one more verse from our primary text. One more verse as the Pharisees tell Jesus to rebuke the crowds, worshiping and praising him. In Luke 19:40, remember, Jesus says this. He answers, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Making us ask, in this time and in this season, will the rocks begin to cry out in our place? I don't know about you, church, but as for me and my house, there ain't no rock crying out in our place. Church, we must continue in our worship and praise, and we must continue in We just must continue in this worship and praise of our hearts, this acclamation for who Jesus is and what he has done, with the right reason in mind, with the right cause, knowing we are doing this because Jesus, our God, is good. All the time, our God is good. And to continually check ourselves and ask, are we worshiping in spirit and truth? Or are we just going through the motions? Because there isn't going to be a rock crying right now, no matter what, because we know who our God is. We know what he is capable of. And we know even if things don't go our way, even if they don't go the way we would hope, we trust him. And we trust in his kingdom come, his will be done. We trust in his rule and reign. So that no matter what we face, no matter the pressure of crowds, no matter what the world would throw at us, when the world would try to silence us, to try to take us away and punish us, there will be no rocks crying out on our watch. Church of God, arise and praise. Praise be to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Have hope. Your victory is won. There's no virus, no amount of condemnation from this world that is ever going to change this. So even if, no matter what, we will worship. I hope you continue in your worship today as a family. And I invite you to play some music. And if you can't play physical music, play some music on your phone, on your computer, on your stereo. Play some worship and continue in worshiping the Lord by knowing who he is and for what he's done. In spirit and in truth, God is still good. God is still with you, even in the hard and evil times. God is still moving in and through you. Palm Sunday has come. Let us join in the praise to the Lamb who overcame it all. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Thank you for joining us on our live stream today. Let me pray for you. God, fill your people. Fill your people with your joy, with your peace, with your hope, Lord. Fill this world with your salvation and reconciliation. Bless those in need, Lord. Blessed are the poor, you say. Bless those in need. Let them go daily with their daily bread. Provide for those needs, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.